The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him, started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?' Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives your brother and your sister from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord. Our reading this morning is from chapter 18 of the Gospel of Matthew. We had a selection last Sunday from that same chapter. And if you remember, that particular time was about an individual that was recalcitrant, that wasn't interested in forgiveness. People approached him and said, you know, this and that. They don't listen to him. Get two people, get three people, tell them to church, treat him like a tax collector. This Sunday, we have a completely different scenario. We have someone who sins frequently and asks forgiveness. Did any of you see the movie Silence? A lot of you missed something really good. In that movie, there was a person that perpetually betrayed the two young Jesuits and would yet come back and ask for forgiveness. His name is, I think, I have it written down here somewhere. I don't remember. It's not an easy name to remember. It's Kichijiro. And regularly, he would turn them over to the people that were going to execute them. And then he would find a way to come to the prison and ask to be forgiven. And imagine if you're the priest and this person has done this several times to you, seems to be repentant, but is weak. I mean, I'd say take a hike. Go see God or something. I'm not going to help you. But that act of forgiveness is really crucial, and this is what it's asked about. Peter in this reading says seven times. I think Peter probably felt pretty smug because seven times was more than the rabbis required. The rabbis required three times. In fact, in the book of Amos, it was God forgives three times, fourth time he punishes. So Jesus says 77 times, which is a way of saying you never stop forgiving. Now, you could be a real sucker, couldn't you? I mean, aren't there times when true love means no? There are complexities here, and I don't have the time to draw them all out. But I want to start with some comments about resentment, comments about the experience of being forgiven, and finally, the call to be peacemakers. First of all, resentment, deep, deep disease. The first reading from Sirach is terrific. Wrath and anger are hateful things, but the sinner hugs tight to them. Now that seems paradoxical, doesn't it? Why would someone hold tight to? Because you feel good about being a victim. It's somebody else's fault. I was trying to set up a taping of a show, an evening show in the afternoon, and I happened onto Jerry Springer's show. Now you all moan, so you must be regular watchers. But I mean, people get on that show and, oh, they're angry and they've been hurt and this and that, and it rules their life. I'm sure they stoke it up a bit for TV purposes. When I was provost of a university back east, Dayton, Ohio, you know, it's kind of a complex position. Ask the provost at USC. And I remember there was a diocesan priest in the city who was really a grump. Really a grump. In fact, he refused communion to young women who would come to communion without sleeves. He got nailed on that, but he was always griping. And then I don't remember what I did, but he, every once in a while, with big fanfare, would award someone with the Satan Award. And he sent me the award, nicely wrapped and so on, and a copy of it to my religious superior, the provincial, Satan Award. So I thought to myself, I thought I would try to do something about this and see if I could win him over. So I called him. I made dinner arrangement with him at the parish, and he seemed to be cordial enough. But by the second bottle of wine, there were two of us. And for the record, I didn't drink much. The venom started pouring out. He was in his 60s and went back to a time when he was 30 years old or so, and he wanted to do a doctorate. I think it was sociology. And the archbishop refused him. And that had been in his system all along, resentment, deep resentment. Just it was like it happened to him the day before. What a tragedy. I could have told him doctorates aren't that great. I mean, but that would have been easy for me to say. But it just poured out. And I said, what a tragedy. This thing has been going on. As you've heard me say, harboring resentment is like letting someone live rent-free in your head forever. And it screws up everything. So here you have. Then we also say, forgive and forget. You should be able to forgive and forget. Well, I'm all for forgiving, but I'm not for forgetting. But there are two ways you can not forget. You can remember with anger, or you can just remember, not going to make that mistake again. The latter is smart. So resentment corrupts, destroys, it hurts. What about being forgiven? I think being forgiven transforms. It's the opposite of harboring resentment, holding on to hatred. You may remember, I do vividly, 1981, there was an attempt on the life of St. John Paul II, unsuccessful. But at Christmas time in 1983, he went to the Italian prison and he offered his forgiveness. He was seated in a plastic chair, a white plastic chair, as was his would-be assassin. And it was described this way. You ask yourself, did this have an impact on the individual? At the time, we didn't know. But later, Akcha was his name. He said the following. This was sometime afterwards. He proclaimed that he was renouncing terrorism to become a man of peace. He traced his transformation to a prison visit with the Pope that last year. After a close reading of the Quran, he said he had become a devout Muslim with profound respect for Christianity. And he promised that if he were freed, he would become a preacher, going to all nations and preaching the good and truth to all people. Pope didn't ask him to be released from prison. You punish a crime, but you can forgive a sin. So that was the arrangement. It's pretty powerful, and a pretty powerful thing that happened to him. There are rigorists that do not want to see forgiveness be cheap. In the early church, there were a group of rigorists that said if anybody committed one of three sins, they should not be forgiven. Can you guess what they would be? Adultery, murder, apostasy, denying the faith. And for a while, I mean, this looks like, hey, we're up on the standards. This is good. We only let so many people into this university. It shows we're really good. And the church eventually said, no, that doesn't make sense. Why do you think the church came to forgive those sins? Assuming a person wanted to repent. Well, the woman caught in adultery. Chapter 10, Gospel of John. Go and sin no more. How about denying the faith? The first pope, Peter, denied him three times and yet was rehabilitated. What about murder? St. Paul was into it big time. And they could still find, thank God for the scriptures, a basis for a profound form of forgiveness. And that leads to a kind of inner transformation. Think about this for a moment. I want to turn this into a classroom, but it's fascinating. Thomas Aquinas wrote that the virtue of religion is a potential part of the virtue of justice. Potential part of the virtue. If it was a full part of justice, it would mean you could give back what you owe. But the virtue of religion says you can never give back what you owe, again, to three realities. One, you can never give back to God what God has given to you, life and existence. Second, you can never give back to your country what your country has given you, a culture, a language, and so on. And third, you can never give back to your family, your parents, what they've given to you, except maybe pay it forward when you have your own children. And the notion of religion is religare. It's a ligament. It holds us together. And it's a profound form of thanksgiving. So being forgiven is very important. If you haven't been to confession in a long time, you should up your game. I mean, I imagine many of you do for an annual checkup. And what happens? You discover things you didn't know. If you do a serious examination of conscience, you might come up with stuff that you didn't really realize. If you're not sure, ask people who know you well. Do you think there's anything I need to change in my life? Maybe you shouldn't, but do you think there's any? I live in a community. I get it all the time. James, you should repent of this. You should repent of that. Finally, peacemaking. You might say for yourself, things are pretty much in order. In the family and so on, the extended family, there are not any real broken relationships. In many families, there are. Well, you do your best to try to reconcile. But let's say you are a person who does, say, work like social work. What you're trying to do is make peace. Try to bring people together. If you've got your house in order, look around. There are people that don't. If you gossip, it just divides people. Bring them together. Find some way, the experience of forgiveness that you've had and the goodness, to pay it forward by helping people around you. That's a very important form of forgiveness, and it's a very great grace. God loves, God forgives again and again, That's very good news. Spread the news.